Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening to those listening on the East Coast of America, and good morning, Australia. You're back listening to your host with my gorgeous co-host, Vivian Shapira, and this is Energy Healing for Everyone. Unfortunately, it's our sixth show in a series of six shows, and I'm pretty devastated that this is the last show, but we will be back for another series. It's been such a popular segment, such a popular series, that we'll be back again. We're incredibly lucky to have Neil and Vivian Shapira with us and their wealth of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding around energy healing. And for our last show, we've got a particularly wonderful show. Vivian and Neil are going to actually demonstrate what Alexander technique is and how it helps people. But before we get on to that, I just want to remind you that Vivian has an amazing book out at the moment. It's an award-winning, groundbreaking textbook called The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery, and it introduces the world to a new form of crystal healing. And so this series of shows has been talking about all different modalities of healing, with a particular focus on crystal healing and crystal surgery, which is a new form of energy healing. Now, I want to just let you know that today there'll be a live demonstration. Before we do that, though, last week Vivian spoke about the clearing energy and connecting with spirit animals. And I just want to let Vivian recap about something amazing that happened. She sent me a wonderful email over Easter, and I'm going to let Vivian tell you about that. Over to you, Vivian.
Okay, so last time I contacted a spirit guide via the Phantom Crystal, and the spirit guide, at the time that I was narrating what I was experiencing, I was very much doubting myself because we've been watching quite a few Australian shows on TV, and so I thought, oh, I'm just influenced by the TV we've been watching, and I'm making this stuff about an Aboriginal guide. And as I thought that, the Aboriginal guide said, I will send you a message to confirm that this is really happening. And the message will be that you will see the concept or an image or see the word boomerang. And I said that out loud. It will be on the restream. It will be on the recording. And so I thought, well, I'm not expecting that really to happen. Well, 36 hours later, and of course, in the next 7 days, 36 hours later, I got an email from someone I've known for 20 years, and she was referring to the first time we ever had a conversation. And she remembers the conversation, and at the end of that, she gets to another paragraph, and she says to me, that was the beginning of a boomerang journey. And there was
And it's an unusual word, Vivian. It's not something that you would use in everyday language. Even as Australians, we don't often use the word boomerang. So Vivian sent me this beautiful email, and it gave me chills, and I thought we really need to tell the audience that's what happened. That's the power of intuition and spirit-led living. If you watch for the signs, or you ask for a particular sign, it will always be there in some form or the other. And for the skeptics out there, you can say what you like, but we think that is clear and divine connection, and letting Vivian know that what she was thinking and intuitively saying was absolutely true and correct. So, Vivian, this morning on the show, we're going to demonstrate the Alexander technique. I'm really excited to see how this works. Would you like to tell the audience a little bit about the Alexander technique, and then we'll get on with the demonstration?
Well, the thing is, yes. The thing is that the Alexander technique is the most boring thing to talk about and the most interesting thing to experience. It's an extraordinary experience, and I'm only sorry that viewers won't be able to actually experience it for themselves. But I will explain what's going on and explain what I'm looking for. And hopefully it won't be watching paint dry. But Neil's quite entertaining to watch, and he's agreed very fortunately for us to be the subject. And I'll be demonstrating the Alexander technique on him. And it is a neuromuscular retraining. And I can explain more as I'm doing it, because it's like talking about riding a bicycle. There's no listening to the theory of riding a bicycle. You get on that bicycle, you experience it, you practice. It's a kinesthetic learning. And that is how it is with the Alexander technique. And we call it a lesson. I'm an Alexander teacher. Neil's also an Alexander teacher. We give Alexander lessons because we are actually teaching something. So this is a wonderful thing, because it feels therapeutic. It feels healing. And yet you're learning. It's not a treatment. You are actually learning something. You do get a takeaway. And that is one of the powers of the Alexander technique. So we're going to move the chair, and Neil and I will go and get ourselves into the camera. Yes. And so that's what we're going to do now. And maybe adjust the microphone angle. So if you can't hear us, we'll move the microphone. So let's do that right away.
So for our listeners, the Alexander technique has an interesting connection to Australia, and the founder and developer of the technique was Australian. And so this is particularly wonderful to be able to display and show how this technique works. And I know that Vivian and Neil have been using this technique for decades with wonderful results. So I'm going to let them explain what they're doing as they do it.
That's right. So we use standing and sitting in the Alexander technique because we're actually teaching about movement, and we're teaching how to change habitual patterns of movement that could be either limiting you, like if you're an opera singer or an athlete, your habitual tension could be limiting you from reaching full potential, or you could be causing yourself back pain or headaches or other issues that come from using your body poorly or getting causing stress in the way that you're using your body. And what I truly, truly love about the Alexander technique is that it's a hands-on technique. So we actually put our hands on people, and instead of sort of issuing instructions about do this with your shoulders and do that with your rib cage and put your chin somewhere, we actually help and guide the person. And the way that we're doing it is that we're sending a message to overcontracted muscles to stop doing that, basically. Like, don't overcontract, because that's not what we want. We want you to go to a lengthened, decontracted state, more neutral. You know, we carry huge amounts of tension in our bodies, and that tension just sits. We don't know how to release it. And so that's what an Alexander teacher begins with, is getting overcontracted, tense muscles to release. And when a muscle releases, it lengthens and widens. And this is actually visible physically. Now, of course, Neil has had a long, long time being an Alexander student and an Alexander teacher, so he isn't going to be particularly what we call pulled down. So I'm going to ask him to demonstrate what pulled down looks like. So Neil, if you'll just deliberately pull down so that people can see what we mean by that. And so pull down even a little bit more. Now pull your chin, and then most people, they retract their heads, and then they go from there to sitting. Yes. So you'll sit, Neil, like that without hurting yourself. All right. So don't you hold there. Very uncomfortable when you've learned not to do that. So now we'll do that again. Yeah. And what the Alexander teacher does is they get you to lengthen up like this. And so actually, what you can actually watch people lengthening upwards as they do get their selves in better shape. And that we call going up. And this going up versus pulling down is a very important dynamic in the Alexander technique. And then the other dynamic that we look for is to free instead of fix. So usually people fix their heads, and you can't turn them. But Neil's a good Alexander teacher, and he's allowing me to turn his head. And now I'm going to stop him from pulling his head back as he goes to the chair. And if the weight of the head release, hips, knees, and ankles bend, and he reaches the chair in a smooth and flowing motion that does not cause any neck tension, increase in tension. And the thing to remember or to know is that if you tip your head back slightly, so Neil, if you just demonstrate, this is what that we call that pulling the head back. When you do that, you're compressing the spine with the weight of the head. And the moment you reorganize that and you let the head go to what we call head forward and up, then that spine can lengthen. And you can come up out of the hip joints. There we go. That's great, getting that length there. And this gives a sense of lightness because we perceive our weight. Like if we pick up a box, we perceive how heavy it is through the kinesthesia of how much our muscles have to contract to lift the box. So it's the same for us in our bodies. If our muscles are contracted, our bodies feel heavy. And if our muscles decontract, we feel lighter. And so this is a standard experience for Alexander students, is that they can come in feeling down and heavy, and they walk out feeling up and light. And up and light is a very different experience of life in every way.
Yeah, I already feel much better than when we started.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So,
Vivian, is that why the Alexander technique is popular with sports people and people that use their voice? So voice actors, singers, opera singers.
Absolutely.
Is that why it's popular? Because
absolutely. And it's taught in the music schools and the opera schools and the singing schools all across the world, in the colleges and the universities. They have Alexander teachers to help with that. And I thought I heard you say with horses, and I was going to say, yes, horse riding is also a huge application for the Alexander technique. And horse riders will instinctively understand what it is we're doing here, because they know that the way they are organizing themselves on the horse is what communicates to the horse. So that is actually, horse riding is the closest to the Alexander technique. If you want to compare from one thing to another, because the way the horse is receiving information from the rider's body is exactly the same kind of transmission as Neil is receiving information from me. And the information is coming from nervous system to nervous system. So that's from from both my mind and my physical nervous system. In the Alexander technique, there is no split between mind and body. What you think is what you get. And something we must really understand. If we think, there's another step when we're walking downstairs. What happens? We crash into the ground because our entire being has been prepared by that thought for another step.
Yes.
We did not have to give any detail. All we did was that one thought, there's another step, and boom, we're crashing into the ground. And so that is the principle that we're understanding here, is to be able to think clearly. And that is one of the best bonuses for me personally from the Alexander technique. And so we do the standing and sitting work. And we get everything going, what we call get everything going. And what that means is we get the up direction to be moving somewhat more freely through the system. And typically in a lesson, we do about 10 minutes of this, what we call chair work. But as the student gets more and more experienced, we may do longer chair work and a few other things that are upright. But mostly in the beginning, and we can't demonstrate this part because we don't have a table here, but we put people on the table and they lie down in a position called semi-supine, which means they rest their heads on books and they bend their knees and put their feet flat on the floor, and they let their spines lengthen out, and they use gravity to help lengthen and release the tension in their bodies. And you would want to lie in semi-supine for about 10 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes every day, if you want to change the way your back and your neck are feeling and behaving, and you want to decontract tense muscle. And if people want it, I do have that up on my YouTube channel, and it's a video called Quieting Internal Noise. So and it's on my channel, which is Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. And you can see a picture of me lying down with my head on the books. And that is the video that will guide people through the semi-supine lying down position. And they can experience for themselves what the guided lying down of Alexander Technique will feel like. It's pretty powerful. It looks like nothing's happening, but inside you've got all kinds of changes and those changes affect your heart rate, they affect your oxygenation, they affect every part of you. These are not small physiological changes, and they are not in any way insignificant. And there we are, Sarah.
Vivian, are there Alexander teachers across the world? So anyone listening anywhere should be able to find an Alexander teacher to do the technique with them?
The Alexander teachers are spread across the world, and there are, but it's a small profession, and there are not people in every city of the world. They're not, and of course they're concentrated in pockets where there are training courses, then you're going to have more Alexander teachers there, and then you have very underserved places. But the internet is rich with information, and anyone should be able to find some kind of Alexander Technique help no matter where they are. And as I say, I do have that video clip, and we have a book called Guided Lessons, which is in the intro.
You do.
So
it is.
And that also gives a lot of information. So
the links to Vivian's YouTube channel and the links to her books, for those of you listening live, Payo will pop them up in the comments. They're also on Shapera.com and RadioTony.com. Look under co-host and you'll find all of Vivian and Neil's information.
Thank you.
So, Neil, how's that feeling for you?
It feels absolutely wonderful. I feel more centered, more grounded, definitely going up in a nice, almost as if I've lost 20 pounds and feel more relaxed and elevated, like an anti-gravity, an anti-gravity.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Because we have gravity forcing us down. The gravity forces are down, aren't they? And we forget that we have that constant force down, our body needs to be reminded to rise up and not be contracted and down. Yeah?
Absolutely.
And then, Tony, for people to really benefit from what you just said, I want to add that the thing is not to pull on yourself. We're not pulling to get this. We're actually releasing tension. So don't do anything that pulls, because people tend to sort of, I'll just get to where the camera can see me, they pull on themselves like this, but that's tense and you can't hold it. It's actually a question of releasing. So if you watch, you know, people think they're supposed to put their shoulders back. But look, Neil's not putting his shoulders back. He's just opening up there under his rib cage. And that length is what's bringing. Does it just come up there, Neil? That's it. There we go. So that's it. And it is a question of allowing. You've got to allow yourself to change. And that's what the Alexander technique is about. It's about change. So I don't know if you want to talk more about the Alexander technique, but otherwise I can explain how this turned into crystal healing. And
I was going to say the next. It's your healing, your journey as a healer started with the Alexander technique and then progressed into all the energy fields, development of your intuition and telepathy. So that was exciting for us to talk about today as well, that journey that started with Alexander technique, what we've demonstrated for the audience, and has progressed into this energy field and healing work that you do now that is so powerful, Vivian.
That's right. So let me demonstrate. What happened was that one day somebody asked me to show her what the Alexander technique is, and this was in not a social setting. We'd actually were attending a little workshop, and it was a break, and we were talking about what we do, and she said, "Will you show me the Alexander technique?" And I took my hands like this, and I couldn't get them onto her body. I was there, and I had to literally push through. Oh. So it was my first experience where I went to give an Alexander lesson, and I started to experience something else over here, and I started to be able to feel that there is something surrounding the physical body, and that it's not to do with the Alexander technique, which is very strongly psychophysical, so mind and body. And there was something in addition to mind and body that I was experiencing.
To that.
And additional to that was I was starting to have these odd experiences of reading my students' minds, where I would think something and then later the person would tell me something and I think, but I just heard that already.
Yes.
The most poignant one was when I asked a student of mine, and this was, I was very young, I was a new practitioner, and I was holding his head, you know, I was picking up this other information, and I said to him, why does it seem like you've got no legs below the knees? Because I was holding his head, and when I tune in, then I can feel through Alexander technique, I can feel all of a person, and I can track everything that's going on in their bodies. Not everything, but you know, what I can need to track, as it were. So I was holding his head and I said, why does it feel like you don't have legs below the knees? Like your legs are cut off just below the knees. And he said, because when I was 5, they wanted to amputate both my legs. And my uncle came to get me from the hospital and carried me out on his back. And he said, I will heal this boy. And I was innocently asking this question, why can't I feel your feet and your lower legs? And so, you know, something had happened when you, and at this point he was about 28, 29 or 30 years old, somewhere around there, you know, and this had happened when he was 5. But so again, there was something of, I could see his legs, I could see his feet. And yet I couldn't feel them. So there was something else going on that was more than physical or with the mind. There was another layer that I was encountering. And it was coming through pretty strongly. And then another quite nice story is about I had two clients, one after the other, that were very different from each other. And the male was Greek, and he was a karate instructor, and the woman was very light. She dressed in all white outfits, like Indian white outfits, and she played the cello like an angel, and she had this almost angelic or fairy-like quality. So I had this big, strong Greek guy who was a karate instructor, and then this light, airy, fairy cellist. And as the guy left and the woman came in, it was so strong. The energy change in the room was so strong that I spun around and fell down on the chair dizzy because I was so, my head got turned around by the energy switch. And so, again, it was just in front of me that there is something else as well.
Yes.
Not just the physical body and not just the psychology or the mind. There's more than that. I could not get away from
energy.
It.
Yes.
our face all the time. Thanks. So
thank you.
That's how that progression happened. So then I started to work with people's energy field, and I started to include it, but only a little bit, because I didn't have time in South Africa. Those were half-hour sessions, and I was really very busy as an Alexander teacher. But when we came to America, I started to I had some other very strange experiences, and then I just started to include. I lengthened the sessions to an hour, and I started to include the energy healing. And then that became crystal healing. And then the crystal healing turned into crystal surgery. And so that's how I got from Alexander technique to crystal surgery. That was the progression. And then and now something new showed up as I prepared with you for this series. And I thought that we
should
talk about it, because what showed up when you asked me for this campaign, I'm going to need my glasses, Neil. they're on the table. Thanks. So
I know, they come for a time in our life when we need our glasses.
Yes, I got my glasses.
Yes.
Thank you. So you asked me for a campaign slogan, and I said it came through. It's that the answer came from inside me. It didn't come, or it came from inside me, and it came from the spirit guides and the energies out there. And it was the power of yes. And I thought, woo, power of yes, that's powerful. And then I thought about it, like, where did that come from? And then I started to put the puzzle pieces together, and I realized, oh, my goodness, everything I do, and I say this to my clients, and I say this to my students, everything I do is working, helping people get back to yes in their lives. That's what healing is. That's what education is moving toward yes. And I realized that that's what I'm looking for. And that's how I know when my clients are doing well and that what our work is successful is when they come out of the state of no and start to say yes to themselves and yes to opportunities in their lives and start generating yes for themselves. And so I realized this is the underlying theme. This is the theme of everyday magic. This is the theme of the Alexander technique. This is the theme of what I'm teaching in classes, because really the information isn't the important part. It's what it does to you that is the important part of information, and how it serves you, how that knowledge serves you in your life, and how you can apply it for good. For yourself and everybody else. And I realized that that's the theme and underlying theme of every single thing I am doing. And my message to people is, let's find out about how to get to yes. Let's find the yes for you. Let's get there. And so I thought that that's what we should talk about. And
today,
it came up with the title, The Life. The life-changing power of yes. And this is my new topic now.
Vivian, it does have a unique power, because when you say yes to something that is completely outside of your comfort zone, outside of your knowledge, you're then reliant on something that is outside of you. And in saying yes to that thing that is outside of you, that creates magic, doesn't it?
It does create magic, and I think the most important thing is not to push yourself so far out of your comfort zone that it has to be within reach from your comfort zone.
Yes.
And that is a step-by-step process, and that is what I think it's very important, because let me be 100% clear, what we're doing now is totally out of my comfort zone. But that's why we are doing it together, Tony, because this is not something I could do on my own. And what happened, and I think it's good to share because it is the step-by-step process that I would like to share with people, is that I realized that we can use the word yes to bring our that we reach yes when our body, mind, and spirit come into alignment. That's when we reach yes. But we can conversely get our body, mind, and spirit into alignment by using the technique of yes. And so that's what I did to get me here to be able to speak like this and reach the audience that we are reaching together. Because my insight is that you can use this word, and my example is actually us working together here. And how it began was with the pandemic lockdown. I had to close my doors, so now I had no work and no income, and that was it. And then I thought, I was very, it was very stressful, very distressing, because I had to finish my book in that situation with that landscape and so on. But then after sitting for a while on my deck and getting through the summer and getting the book done, and then I was thinking, now what? And of course, the no-brainer was do Facebook Live. And I thought, I don't want to. No. And then I was just stuck because I was in a state of no. I didn't want to do Facebook Live, and I didn't want to do this, and I didn't want to do that. And then I realized I am in a state of no. And that is how we all were stuck with the pandemic, all stuck in a state of no, because we were living no, and we had to be saying no to keep ourselves safe. And then I just thought, this is too uncomfortable for me. I can't carry on like this indefinitely, because there was no end in sight. I thought, I have to do something. So the first question was, Vivian, you're in a state of no. Do you want to move into a state of yes? And there was my first yes. And there was my first yes. Yes, I want to move into a state of yes. So then I asked myself,
Vivian, you had a whole strategy planned for the marketing of your book when the pandemic hit, and you couldn't do any of that. And you have this amazing textbook to market and promote. So you were not in a positive, can we say, a positive spot right there and then. And the way that you swapped that was the yes, wasn't it?
Yes, because I was so disappointed, and there was a lot of disappointment, and that put me in a no state. And then the thing is, then you compare to other people who are much worse off to you, so then you feel guilty because you're feeling bad and disappointed, and you know, and it's just a bad downward spiral of no. So then when I went, I wanted to move into a state of yes, and I thought, well, what is my inner need? What is the inner need that I have to say yes to? And I thought, I want to get my message out to a lot of people. And if that's what I need for myself to feel better, that I'm getting a message out, I'm getting out to people, and I'm getting what I have to say and to share out to people, that's what's going to make me feel better. So, but that's not a comfortable thing for me to do. It's outside my comfort zone, to use what you said. And then I thought, well, what will help me? What will make this more comfortable? And I went, if someone shows me the ropes, if someone does it with me, someone who knows a whole lot more than I do, actually mentors me in this, then I will be able to do it, because I just don't feel like pulling myself up by my bootstraps and reinventing yet another wheel for myself. There are people out there who know how. And that's how we come to be together tonight, because I got to that yes.
When it comes to my passion for helping people be comfortable with live streaming media, because it's a powerful way to connect to a bigger audience. So Vivian and I connected from across continents, mind you. So Vivian's in the US, I'm in Australia. We had this wonderful conversation, and I could feel as we were talking and I was explaining to her how live streaming works and how the reason I do what I do is because people don't feel comfortable doing it by themselves. So I co-host with them and teach them how to do this, and we do series of shows together. And so from my perspective, I get to indulge in my love of helping people, teaching people, and getting them comfortable in a new medium. Because for most people, speaking in front of an audience is the biggest fear. I forget the statistics, but there's a huge amount of the population that their number one fear is speaking up in front of people. And so if I can facilitate that, that means that the audience gets amazing, wonderful, fabulous, educative information that will help them live a better life. And having worked with Vivian and Neil, they come with decades of wisdom and knowledge. And it's about grabbing that wisdom and knowledge and giving it to the audience so they then can go, oh, maybe that would help me do X, Y, Z. That, and all of the things that Vivian and I and Neil have talked about will absolutely help you build a better life. They will help you feel happier, healthier, wholer. They will help you integrate mind, body, and soul and live a better life. So it's a win-win situation, isn't it, Vivian?
It is. And that's what I wanted. And actually, I wasn't the one who booked the call with you. Do you remember? Someone else booked it. And I didn't know what was going on. But it was what I'd wished for, and so it manifested.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't have committed to, because of our time change, we always have to do this at a time that's actually a little awkward for me. And so once I gave my yes, it started to unfold, and I kept getting help and signposts and so on. And so this was the wonderful thing, that my willingness to say yes to something got yes into my life in an unfolding way. And a lot of yes has come forward because of this. It's generating huge amount of energy, and it's exciting. It's exciting. And it all began with my fear, you know, of not wanting to do live streaming.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that the audience might not realize is that in the process of Vivian and I working together, there has been a free flowing knowledge transfer and an intuitive, yes, that's what we're going to talk about this week. Like the yes has provided a platform for Vivian and I to work together seamlessly. Like it's just a beautiful flowing transfer of knowledge, and it's been really wonderful. And that's because Vivian said yes. Despite her fear, the power of yes has come into play.
So it's so important for people to get in touch with what are they saying no to, and how can they transform the no state into the yes state. But you also want to recognize what's a real yes and a true yes, because there's sort of yes, not going to do it. And then we're talking about the thorough yes that aligns body, mind, and spirit. And that is easy to detect, because we were explaining in the Alexander technique how we can pull down or we can go up. And a half-hearted yes is like this, it's a down. And a wholehearted yes is a yes. You know, it's a natural up reaction when we're saying yes. And so yes has this up quality to it. And you can actually feel that kinesthetically. You can feel it in your body. Now, if your kinesthesia is very habitual, how it is for most people, it may just be this feeling of yes in your gut, like a gut feeling or a little feeling of a spark of hope. But there is a recognition and at minimum a spark. And that spark can go, you know, it's a range. It can go from a spark to a full-on rush of energy where, you know, it's sort of like, You know, you can see when you see a three-year-old and you finally get them out of their no state and then they say yes, then they sort of open their front a little bit. So there will be that opening in front, but it can also be a, yeah, you know, a real surge of energy. And these are all detectable inside us, and we must use that inner knowing, that part of us that does know the truth. We must use that part. And the reason we must use that part is because our psychology is what is getting us confused and messed up. It's got our psychology has defense mechanisms and especially projection in place and, you know, fear and resistance and denial and all these kind of dynamics and our personal psychology. Now, if we don't know, our personal psychology is formed when we are young. So from birth all the way to about age eight, and then they say we kind of set, 7 or 8 hours, we kind of set in our personality and so on. It's kind of scary that we're being run by less than 7 years old. And I decided I don't want that three-year-old in me running my life anymore. I want to get in charge of my own life as at my age, my chronological age, not at stuck in some psychology to do with being angry that my brother got more attention than I did or something like that. I mean, that can't be running me now. That's a half a century or more ago. You wouldn't say how much. So that's the thing about the yes, is just you can go directly bypass your psychology and contact your higher self, your spirit, your body, and bypass the psychology that's bulldozing you into a wrong state. And just find what's the yes for all the rest of you and start moving yourself then gently. Don't push yourself out of your comfort zone. Reach out of your comfort zone is the way that I'll put it. Because you're not going to be comfortable in what you're calling your comfort zone anyway. That's just you not doing what you need to do. It should be your uncomfort zone or your discomfort zone.
Psychology that you talk about is a natural part of our lizard brain or our child brain, or there's lots of names for it, and its purpose is to protect us. Now, the thing is that once you start to tap into your intuition, and when you feel in your body that you should be saying yes to something, there's an excitement and a gut feeling, but there's also that psychology, that ancient psychology that will project its fear, the fear of unknowing, the fear of what might be. And you have to actually consciously go, for myself, I have to consciously go, thank you very much. I really appreciate that you're just trying to protect me, but I know within myself, my gut, my soul, my heart, that this is the yes that I need to do. Do you find that as well, Vivian, that sometimes I find that it's getting better now that I'm practicing the conscious recognition that part of me is just the protective mechanism, and I can acknowledge it and go, thank you very much, but here's intuitively and spiritually what I know that I need to do. Do you find that as well, Vivian, that yes, when you know that it's a yes,
yes,
becomes a little easier the more you practice?
Definitely. But what I've decided a few years ago, it's quite a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, that I was going to figure out how to become my own best friend. And so I'm kinder to myself than I used to be. I had an extremely critical mother, so I have very, very, very critical tapes playing in my head, self-critical tapes playing in my head. And she never approved of anything that I did as a matter of course. In fact, my cousin said to my mother one day, not when I was around, but she reported it to me. She said to my mother, "Rini, you should tell Vivian that you like what she's doing or that you respect what she's doing." And my mother said, "I will not, under no circumstances, I will not." And that's how she brought me up. She would never, ever approve of a single thing that I did. And she would never, but to other people, she'd brag so that they'd hate me. And to my face, it was, nothing was ever good enough, ever. Nothing was ever good enough. And I needed to work with that in myself. I mean, my mom, unfortunately, she had a terrible personality disorder, and it leaves terrible scars on one. And I do, I do. I mean, people don't know, but I got brought up as a boy. They cut off my hair and made me look like a boy, and I've had all kinds of weird experiences because of that. And about 10 years ago, I made a little contract with myself, and I thought, I'm going to become my own best friend. And I took a look at myself, and Vivian, you're a very kind person and you help people a lot. Why do you not feel good about who you are and how you are and so on? And I thought, I'm going to allow myself, I'm going to start saying yes to myself. I'm going to start allowing myself to feel good about myself. This is awful that I'm living under the disapproval and criticism of my mother. I mean, she, at that time, she was still alive and she was on a different continent. And, I was taking care of her, and she could still, the mother in my head could still do that. And so I actually don't push myself. I let myself be, because I can trust myself to get something done. I can't trust myself to be nice to myself. And I thought, that's actually becoming more important, that I need to learn how to be nice to myself. And in so doing, I'm more patient with myself and kinder to myself. And just like being patient and kind with a child gets you more than being forceful and punishing, so it is when you work with yourself. It's like, you don't have to be punishing. You don't have to be forceful. You can actually be kind to yourself and your own best friend, and you might get a whole lot further. Now, that's not the same as indulging yourself. It's unkind to indulge yourself. And there's a few things I need to learn, and I do actually need to learn to indulge myself some of the time, at least not never. And I need to learn to play more and need to learn how to have fun more. I can be pretty serious and intent. So these are the kind of things also that we want to be saying yes to. We must begin by saying yes to ourselves in some way. And we can say yes to liking ourselves and yes to being kinder to ourselves. And quite a lot comes out of that, actually, what did for me. But it's a nice place to begin.
Why, Vivian, I've talked to lots and lots of women, men, where that terrible self-talk, and I identify readily with what you're saying. I used to beat myself up so severely until I recognized that I needed to be gentler with myself. I was effectively my own worst enemy, and I needed to stop that relationship and be kinder. And I still struggle, and you would know, Vivian, that it is a bit of a struggle. You do tend to drop down into that negative, beat yourself up place. But you can, once you start incorporating yes into your life, and if you start saying yes to yourself, it follows then that you start to be a little kinder to yourself, and you should be really kind to yourself. Do you know, someone once said to me, see how you speak to your grandchild or your children when they were little. Why do you not speak to yourself in that same quiet, loving, unconditional voice?
Yes.
And for lots of the audience listening, you may not actually realize how tough you are on yourself, but it just takes conscious recognition. Start to listen to the tracks that are playing in your head. And Vivian, you would know those as well as I do. Yes. You're not good enough. Why would you try doing that? Who do you think you are? Those words. And I know, working with Vivian, that she has decades of wisdom, knowledge, and researched understanding around energy and healing energy. So I know from the outside looking in how amazingly brilliant Vivian is, but I also know, talking to her, that it still comes at a bit of a struggle from time to time. So Vivian appearing on Radio Tony and doing this series of shows together, I think, is a life-changing moment for Vivian in this, in the message that she has to bring to the world. And I know, just working with Vivian, that is a powerful message. And Vivian, so you feel so strongly about the life-changing power of yes, that you actually set up a Facebook page as well, didn't you?
I started a Facebook group 2 weeks ago with this because I thought, I want people to get this. This is, I haven't written the book yet. There isn't a book to go by. It's, of course, Everyday Magic is all about that theme of coming to yes. Yes. And so that story does, as a case study for people to understand it, look back on their lives and look for the yes moments, because you want more of those. So that, there is that. But yes, we started this group and it has just taken off. It's absolutely amazing how much people are enjoying it and getting that dose of yes every morning. Wow, what a great way to start the day. And I will be writing articles, but I'm also researching this. Other people have written books about the power of yes as well. I'm not the first person to have this insight. I do think that what I'm offering about the body, mind, spirit, and how to get those aligned is a unique perspective that I can bring to this. And I'm good at teaching and breaking things down into step-by-step process. So there will be a workshop coming, and there will be blogs, and there will be information. But really, it's for all of us. It's for all of us to find the yes in our lives, and to also to see what topic in my life or what issue in my life needs to get steered towards yes, because it's an applied learning. It's an applied technique that every single one of us can use. You see, I was frustrated that people could only learn from me if they came and had Alexander or healing sessions from me. And now, like this, with this understanding, let's go straight to this yes dynamic and work from there. I think I can help a lot more people. They don't even ever have to meet me. They can just hear these words and start using it for themselves. This is ordinary, normal life and language that we all have access to. We can all be the author of the power of yes.
Agreed. I'm excited that you've started this Facebook group, and I will be looking on from the outside, watching how the life-changing power of yes progresses. And I love that unique perspective that you bring to that conversation, Vivian, and all that knowledge and wisdom around energy and healing, and combining it with the power of yes. I think it will be just an amazing group. Now, I want to take the time before we run out of time to just say what a divine privilege and pleasure it's been working with Vivian and also Neil and doing this series on energy healing. We have already discussed the fact that we need to revisit this in the future, but I also realize that it is summertime in the States, and that's the time that Vivian needs to rejuvenate and work on a few more of the projects that she has. So, wonderful audience, we are just about out of time. I just am so in awe of what you've created, Vivian. For those of you listening, jump on to Shapira.com. You will find access to the most amazing courses, books, Alexander Technique, Crystal Healing and Crystal Surgery. Grab the textbooks. This is the last show in this series. We will return to present to the world more of Vivian and Neil's unique knowledge. That's it for today. Thank you, Vivian and Neil, so much. I will be in contact again. Lovely listeners, this is Tony Lontis, and this is the final show for today. Thank you so much, and bye for now.
Thanks, Tony.